Our scripture reading for today is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Good morning, church. My name is Kirk. I'm one of the pastors here. I'll be delivering the message this morning. I also have fallen into another duty at the church, which is to oversee the financial team. And so I just want to sneak in a quick announcement before we get started about that. We just crossed over into the new year, and that means we finished the first half of our budget year, and we've been working hard to get our books updated and compiled so that we have a picture of where we've been for the past 6 months, and we're very encouraged by that. And we didn't make it into the bulletin, so you won't see it there, but we're going to have the short members financial related meeting on February 21st, and that's going to be directly after the service here, so stay tuned for more on that. But I just want to get that bug in your ear. This is, we're in the middle of a series in 2 Corinthians, and this is going to be the last one for a few weeks as we take a break for Lent. And today happens to be a fifth Sunday, which if you've been here for a while, you know that means that we have family service. And one of the reasons we do that is because we don't want to tax a small kids ministry team with serving multiple times a month. We want people and the children to be in here worshiping with us. And so if there's ever a fifth Sunday, we just skip kids ministry. We invite everybody in here. It makes it a little more chaotic, but we welcome that. And so because of that, I'm going to try an experiment, and this could be risky. I actually don't see any kids in here. Raise your hand if you're a kid. You're not a kid. Oh, okay. All right. I would like to have all the kids that are normally in kids' ministry come down in here into the first three rows, and I'm going to come down there and meet you, and I'm going to give my message to you. All right? I'll be there in a second. All right. Wow, my voice is a lot louder now. You guys got so much bigger. Your heads used to be that big, and now they're that big. All right. So, you guys ready? All right, we're going to try this. Hope it doesn't go badly. Don't make it go badly, okay? I'm going to give you a real sermon. And it's going to be just like a grown-up sermon, except it's going to be only a little bit sillier. Okay? Because you're silly. Kids are silly, right? Are you silly kids or serious kids? All right. Good. Nailed that one. So a sermon is just when someone gets up and tells a story or tries to remind you about what's true about God or something that God said. Okay? And today, I'm going to do that from the Bible, from the passages that we've been working through here in the sanctuary together as adults. And that is from 2 Corinthians 9, and it's on generosity. Who knows what generosity is? Persis, of course. What's per? Great example, yeah. You give away the meager bread that's left, you give it away to somebody else, right? Generosity is when we eagerly give away more than is needed. We're not very good at that, so we need to hear a sermon about that, right? Now, Paul is writing to his friends at this church, asking them for money. And people don't really like to give away money, so that's why he's writing them ahead of time. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through this passage one sentence at a time, and I'm going to just say the main idea, and then I want you to repeat it, okay? So I'll say what the main idea is, and you're going to repeat it, then I'm going to read it, and then I'm just going to explain it for a few minutes, and then we'll go on to the next one, okay? And there's seven of them. That sounds like not very many, but it's a lot. You can't even count it on one hand. Oh, you can count on one hand. Wow. All right. The first one is this. Here's the main idea. Idea one. Say idea one.
Idea one.
All right. Idea one is the more seeds you plant, the more fruit you'll get. Okay, say it. The more seeds you plant, the more fruit you'll get. Okay? And here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, this isn't the kind of sowing that you have to do when you bend over and your pants rip open in the butt. That's butt sowing, right? This is the kind of sowing that farmers do. And when farmers sow, they take a seed, and they put it in the ground. Oh, you must play Minecraft. Is that right? I learned this from Minecraft. And I think it happens this way in real life, too. Farmers plant seed in the ground. They water it. The sun comes up. Some time passes. Boop. A little sprout comes out of there. A little more water. A little more sun. A little more time. Boop. Gets a little bigger. Starts poking up out of the ground. A little more water, a little more sun, a little more time, a little more water, a little more sun, time, a little more water, a little more sun, a little time. Pretty soon, there it is. A flower, a head of lettuce, an apple tree, okay, a jelly bean vine, whatever you planted, that's what grows, and it bears fruit. That's the harvest part, the reaping. Just a minute, Persis. This is the reaping part. It's when the seed grows up and then it has fruit and you take it. And when the harvest comes for a farmer, it's a celebration. It's this huge celebration. It's like all this food's ready all at once and you gotta like eat it. And you're so happy. So here's the question. If you're a farmer and you want a really big harvest, like you want lots of food at your party, what do you have to do? Lucy. You plant 5 billion trillion seeds. That's right. You plant a lot of seeds. So that's what this is saying. plant a lot of seeds, get a lot of fruit, okay? So this is just for fun. Now, what do you think the seed, what kind of seeds is he talking about? What kind of seeds is Paul talking about? Summer, do you have an idea? No idea? Stone. What kind? Us? Oh, I like that idea. I like that idea. All right, Persis, what do you got? Wheat. All right, it might be wheat, it might be me,
carrots.
Might be carrots. Any other ideas, Lucy?
Sugar cane.
All right. You do play Minecraft. All right. One more. Lettuce, yeah. Might be any kind of thing. These are great ideas. I don't know what kind he's talking about. We'll have to keep reading and find out. All right. Idea two. Say idea two.
Idea two.
And idea two is God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Say it again. Come on. God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, he does. Verse 9 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul's asking them, he's writing this letter asking them for money, and he's getting them ready by writing them this letter. It would be like if I showed up at your door late at night and I knock, boom, 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 and you're getting ready for bed, but you're like, who's knocking at my door? Boom, 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 boom. You come to the door, you crack open the door, you got the little safety guard on there, you look out, and here I am. I'm like, hey, Persis, any extra jelly beans that you have, we need to gather them together because in Indiana there's a jelly bean shortage right now. There's kids there with no jelly beans. All right, and so Persis, you like look back over your shoulder and there's your cauldron full of jelly beans. It's overflowing onto the floor and you're like, no way, I'm not giving my jelly beans. Because 5 minutes ago, I thought those were mine. I was going to get to enjoy. And so here, this is something that's like funny about us giving things away, is that sometimes we need some time to get used to the idea. You know, once you think about those kids in Indiana, maybe you'll think, hey, I have a lot of jelly beans. Maybe I could give them some. The difference is then you want to. You want to give the jelly beans away. All right? That's what cheerful giving is. It means you're happy to. If you want to, that's what makes it generosity. If you don't want to, it's not generosity. And so God, this is just saying God loves it when we're happy to give things away. So the next idea is idea three. It's in the same sentence. Idea three. Nobody can make you be generous. Pretty good. Okay. That's what the under compulsion part means. It means somebody's trying to make you give more. All right? Now, if you decide you're going to give some jelly beans, I'm like, no, that's not enough. You need to give more. You had planned you wanted to give some, and you planned out how many to give. And then I said, no, that's not enough. And then I make you give more. Do you still want to give the amount that's more than you decided you wanted to give? No, of course not. I didn't make you any more generous by forcing you to give more stuff. So can you, here's a question, can you guys make yourselves more generous? Has anybody made themselves more generous? Last night in my house, okay, we have a favorite dish. It's bacon pasta, and the kids can make it. They make it. It's really great. It's like a cheesy pasta with bacon in it. I mean, what's not to love? And they love it. Like, they devour almost everything. And at the end of the night, there's some left over, and Sigrid carefully packages it up for her lunch on Monday, which is 2 days away. She's going to save it. And then an hour and a half later, before bedtime, Liesl goes in the kitchen and starts eating it. She starts eating it. Sigrid hates this idea. Now, I come in and I'm like, Now, Sigrid, you're not being very generous. Is that helpful for me to say that? What is she going to do? Stop wanting to save it for Monday? No. I don't know. I don't really know the answer whether you can make yourself more generous. I have never been able to do it, but it's either impossible or really hard. Okay? Now, if we can't, or if it's really hard, then why would we ever be generous? That's the question for the next idea, all right? The next idea, idea four, is that we have everything we need to be generous. We already have everything we need to be generous, all right? Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's too many abounds and sufficiencies, but what it means is that we always have everything we need to do good. Now, it's a good thing you kids are up here in front, because behind you, some of the adults' heads just exploded. Don't look. Don't look. Maybe we'll get it cleaned up. But, or maybe your head is exploding. That is, you're thinking, that is not right. We don't always have everything we need to do good. It's actually shocking to hear that. That sounds impossible. We have this idea that the things the things and the stuff in our lives is for us to keep and enjoy. Do you guys like SpongeBob SquarePants, or that? You guys don't like it. Nobody likes it. Your parents are too strict. He lives underwater. He's a sponge. When he goes in the air, he desiccates. What does that mean? It means he dries out. Don't worry. It just means he dries out. He dries up. He shrivels up. He starts shriveling up, and sometimes his arm falls off. His eyeballs fall out. He's not square anymore. All right. Well, he does that because he needs water to survive. And if he's not filled with water, he's going to die. And we think of ourselves that way sometimes, like we're this dried out sponge. And any little water or moisture that we come along, we need to suck that up and like store it in ourselves, right? Is this about SpongeBob SquarePants, Persis?
No.
Okay. Is your one chance, shine.
A different example.
Okay.
Pulling on me like you turn around and back.
There you go. I do too. All right. We have something in common. All right. Continuing on. We think of ourselves like SpongeBob SquarePants, and we can't go play with our squirrel friend unless we've got our like helmet on with the water inside. My kids are constantly arguing about their privileges, and this could be anything. It could be music, entertainment, games, what's on the pizza. On Wednesday, it was about who's going to sit in the front seat. Liesl and Urban were in the car with me. They both wanted to sit in the front seat, and I said, yes, I love to let you sit in the front seat. You just have to agree who it's going to be. 20 minutes later, we drove away with nobody in the front seat. So they're just invested in defending what they already have and trying to fight for a larger share of what they could have. And the youngest kids are the worst, because they've had a whole lifetime of bigger kids grabbing away. Do you have a little, who's a little kid? Who's a little sibling? And who's a big brother or sister? Big brothers and sisters? Little brothers and sisters? Some are both. Right, you know what I'm talking about. The big kids can. They have power over you, so they just like, yoink. They just take what they want. Well, let me tell you, you should see Harriet when she thinks you're trying to take something away from her. She will make you hurt She will make you hurt. She'll make your eyes bleed. But you know what? Grown-ups, we do this too. We're always just believing that we don't have enough. That God's holding out on us. But this verse says that everything we need is already ours. That should make a big difference when we're trying to be generous, right? Like, who do you think is going to be more generous? Somebody that has a ton of money so they don't even notice when some of it's missing? Or somebody that has almost no money at all? Who's going to be more generous with their money, Lucy? Forget about the money. It's an optional. It's a multiple choice. Find the person who lost it. I like the way you think, Isabi. You think the one who doesn't have much money is going to be more generous? That could be. That could be. We moved on from the eye bleeding comment. We can try it later. You can encounter Harriet and see if your eyes bleed if you keep them crossed. I think the person that has a ton of money that wouldn't even notice it missing would be more free, like, to just give away whatever they want, because they know there's always more where that came from. Well, this is saying that we're all rich. We're all rich already, and we don't have to worry about losing out by being generous. You guys are all rich. Which, that makes me happy, because I need $20 from each one of you. You can give it to me after. Okay, hold on, Persis. It's hard to believe that we're rich when we feel poor, or when we look in our pocket and there's not the $20. And it says we're rich in every way. But every day we feel like we're missing out. So, like, what gives? What gives? God does not give. He isn't generous with us according to what we want, okay? He's generous with us according to what is going to bring us closer to him and make us more like him. He doesn't say he gives us everything we want. He says he gives us everything we need to do good. Sometimes we don't like that so much. We think that what we want is going to help us do good. Does anybody ever do that? After I watch the movie, then I will be able to do the mealtime chores. That is a mantra in my house. But when I let the kids, like, play video games or something all day, it happens. You can guess. Are they happy at the end of the day? Maybe yes. Are they kind and gentle at the end of the day? No, they are not. No, they are not. But when my kids do something wrong, and they know it, and they come to tears about it, and I come to them, and I'm gentle with them, and I forgive them, sometimes they respond with kindness and peace. So what is this thing that God gives us so much of that makes us ready to give away and makes us so rich? You know what it is? It's right in the beginning of this verse. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. We're covered in grace. And that's what the next idea is about, okay? This is idea five. Idea five. Did I skip four? Five. All right. We're already at five. We're almost done. We're home stretch. Idea five, God is really the generous one. Say that. God is really the generous one. All right? Verses 9 and 10. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So he's back to talking about farmers and planting seeds. And what he says is, God says, I'm the one that gives you the seed to plant in the first place. And then the seed that I give you, it becomes more before you even plant it. And then once you plant it, I'm the one that makes it grow, and I'm the one that makes it bear fruit. And he says that he gives it to us, he gives it away freely, and he gives it to the poor. Who are the poor, do you think? Lucy. Anybody else? Persis. Who's the poor? Who's the poor? Who's the poor?
In the last one?
Yeah, no, in this part. He says that he gives things away freely to the poor. To the poor. Yeah. People who don't have much. Yeah, Summer. You see God providing even for poor, for people that are poor, don't seem to have much that you go by. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Guess what? We're all poor. God gives freely to us. That's what the grace is. We don't deserve to get all of God's love and affection and acceptance, but we get it. We get it for free. We don't even have to do anything to get it. He gives it away for free. He's the one who's generous, isn't he? He started this whole thing. So when we are generous, because we have so much abundance of grace, we're like just doing his job with him. We're going along with his plan. All right. Idea six. We're so close. The fruit is worship. Say that. The fruit is worship. It's a worship fruit. You know what worship is? What worship means? It's like when Urban sees a lightsaber fight and he says, "That's amazing!" And he cries because he's so happy and he stares at it. And then as soon as it's over, he goes and does a lightsaber fight. He attacks me usually because I'm usually the closest one. Ah! He likes to be Darth Vader for some reason. He sees it and he loves it and he wants to do it. That's what worship is. Like when you see it and you think it's amazing and you want to do it. Well, all right, so here we are. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the mercy of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So here these people are giving a bunch of money to their friends who are hungry. And Paul says, guess what? Because you're giving them money to help feed them, they're not going to be hungry anymore. But not only that, they're going to be thankful to God. They're going to be so moved by your gift that they're going to be worshiping Jesus. They're going to look at Jesus and say, "That is amazing." When we're thankful, we feel happy. And so God is like fighting for our happiness through this whole thing. And here we are, idea seven. Last but not least, Jesus is the original cheerful giver. Jesus is the original cheerful giver. All right, it was worth a try. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. To rephrase, they're going to get this gift and see how awesome God is because they see you trusting the good news about Jesus. That's what the gospel of Christ is, the good news about Jesus. Does anybody know what the good news about Jesus is? Is it B? He saves us. He saves us. Chloe, did you have some? No? All right, Everybody's already had their hands up. I'm going to keep going. The good news is that Jesus saves us. He came, he saves us in an amazing way. He came as a man to demonstrate that God would never leave us, but always love us and accept us, and we will never get away from that. That's the good news that Jesus means. He gladly died to become like us. He died like a person. People die, don't they? And Jesus died too. But he rose so that we would be like him. What this means is that we never have to fight for the biggest cookie anymore because we belong to him. And our happiness is his job. What do you think about that? Who's in charge of making you happy? He is. God's in charge of making you happy. And he came, Jesus came to give, and he gives that, he gives his life and himself gladly, and we have him in abundance. So he's the original cheerful giver. I know. I hear the yawns. Yes, we are. Look, I have one. This is my last line. You called it, Levi. All right. The seeds he planted are still bearing fruit and creating worshipers. The last line of this passage is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Yep. That's it. I'm going to pray for you guys, okay? You did great, by the way. I'm personally amazed. You did better than the grown-ups. All right. Wait, I have to talk to my wife about that. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to show us, to demonstrate, to manifest your amazing love for us. Thank you for originating the abundance that we can be generous out of. And I just pray for us all as we live life and don't feel like we have enough to give. In the times when you've promised that you enrich us to all generosity, but it just does not feel like that. I pray for us all that we would ask you to show us what you have given. We trust you in this because you've promised it. I pray for each and every one of these kids in front of me that they would endure long-winded sermons like this, but still receive the grace of God. Still know your salvation and still know just your amazing love for them. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.